on the whole business of advertising in television, what role that plays and in what way that might be. Is an advertising message, as far as the medium, the message there, or is the message important and in what way?
Advertising is really part of the information service industries, and increasingly the ad becomes a substitute for the product. As the information improves, as you get better information about ads, they become more and more a substitute for the products. All the satisfactions now come from the ads, not the products.
Now, how so? Can you give an example of that?
Well, it's been discovered by the advertising surveys that the people who read and pay attention to the ads are the ones who already own the products, because they're still trying to squeeze more satisfaction out of what they already own. That's why they read about the motor car they already own. But anyway, the natural tendency, as you improve the level of information about anything, is for the satisfaction to come from the information area. The hardware is becoming, and the hard sell, are becoming less and less important in our world as we become more and more involved in information. We make our environment out of information as well as all our products.
Now, if that were proved that people only paid attention to those ads, that they already own the product.
Not only.
Oh,
but mostly.
I wonder, because advertising would collapse, I would think, if that were the case.
Does this mean that we should go back to the old kind of ads we had, where all we used to do is list all of the various things instead of using color and picture?
No, I don't think it means anything, except that it's very interesting to understand what's happening. I don't try to draw any conclusions from these observations. I'm not sure that anything follows from. I work in an exploratory way in the whole field of events and in the happenings. I simply try to find out what is happening. And since it concerns everybody, it seems to me my personal point of view of what concerns everybody is not that important. Why should I insist upon some decisive or even moralistic approach to something that it concerns everybody just as much as it concerns me?
That's partly what's baffling about you, because I think people brought up in socially imprinted with our culture expect you to come forth in an academic way and make a point of view.
The older,
this baffles.
The older culture, the older fragmented and specialist culture, encouraged everybody to have a point of view and to maintain it consistently. In our fast-moving information world, it's more, I think, useful to probe, explore, find out what's happening.
It's interesting, maybe to have opinions instead of convictions. Somebody once said the luxury of intellect was you could hold opinions instead of convictions, because opinions you're free to change and convictions you're stuck with. And you apparently go for opinions, and you're willing to change them as indicated.
I can change them right in the middle of an interview.
Also,
I've seen you do that.
If you don't attempt to draw conclusions, though, do you attempt nevertheless to see directions?
Oh, yeah.
In other words, where do you think we're going?
Well, for example, these youngsters who tell me we're not interested in goals and objectives. We just want to know what's going on in the world. I've been told that by all sorts of university students. We're not a goal-oriented generation. What they're trying to say is, we don't work from any one position in this kind of world we're living in. We're all over the place. Therefore, to have to spend our whole lives aiming at one objective is unbearable. Most businessmen today are dropouts, too. They want to quit after 10 years. And a small measure of success, they say, I couldn't go on doing this the rest of my life. I'm going back to school.
You say dropping out is going to increase rather than decrease now.
Oh, yeah. Dropoutism simply means the rejection of highly specialist goals in favor of a larger field of operations.
It's not just laziness, then.
Oh, no, it's the bright people who drop out fastest.
Very interesting.
Oh, dear, what you have just done.
Does this tie in at all with the desire now to do things instead of to be things? In other words, to be a doctor or an attorney is different from practicing medicine and practicing law. Is it possible our young people want more now to be a dynamic entity of doing things rather than to have a label and say, I am a writer?
That's right. They don't want a category. That's why that's, I think, even part of the meaning of LSD. They would rather get rid of what they have been given as a private identity then go on with that little label or lapel sticker. They won't accept that kind of thing as a real personality. And they just wipe it out, or scrub the old tape.
Now, in view of this, let me ask you for an opinion, not a conviction, or a point of view, if you will. In view of all the rapidly flowering, explosively flowering technology and the drugs and the situation that we find ourselves in now, so rapidly changing, is human destiny bright or gloomy in your mind? Are we going to survive this and benefit from it, or are we going to go under?
Well, you can see that what is presenting the crisis is actually an enormous improvement of human facilities and human technologies. The potential in there is enormous. It's perhaps more than we deserve. That we could simply make a tremendous thing of this if we really settled down to solving it. But if we try to apply some simple blueprint, some simple-minded solution, we might be in for real trouble. I think we're going to have to exert tremendous ingenuity and wisdom. Oh, yeah. Not just ingenuity, not just know-how anymore, but real wisdom is indicated for the coming world.
Will that wisdom come from people who are goal-oriented or who are role-oriented?
Well, at least comprehensivists like Rocky Fuller, I think, have a better chance of being some use to us.
Ah. Now, we'll be back in just a moment. The time now is 55 after the hour. I put this on my finger here just in case you have forgotten. Here is Barbara to remind you of a special event this week.
Yes, Hugh. This is the last week of Rexall's Summer Savings Spectacular.
Barbara was wondering earlier about what your opinion is of how schools will change in the future to meet these needs that are new.
Well, the general direction indicated is from to switch from instruction to discovery. That is, when the kids live in a world that is practically made of information, it seems rather odd to go into a schoolroom where there's a considerable dearth of information and to await the sort of stenciling of the mind or the stenciling of information onto the brain pan. But the possibility of using the school situation as a basis for discovery of teams of students working on problems for which answers are not known at all.
You think this will happen?
I think this ought to be tried. I'm not sure whether it will happen. I think it ought to be tried. I think the youngsters are dying to get out and solve problems that adults don't know the answers to.
Our guest, Marshall McLuhan, a man who would rather probe and explore than merely make predictions or cram everything that he does into an academic framework, and I appreciate his being here this morning. A real pleasure to meet you,
sir. He's a cool man. Get even involved.
Understanding Media, the Extensions of Man, is the most recent book by Marshall McLuhan, and I hope we can get him back here sometime. Would you come back again, sir?
I would.
Thank you. We'll take a station break now.